Welcome, Bard Brawlers, to the Bard Brawl. Bacon is sizzling on the stove, and it is Montreal, Quebec. My name is Daniel J. Rowe. I am co-captain of the Bard Brawl. Joining me, as always, is the other co-captain of the Bard Brawl at bardbrawl.com, Mr. Eric John, Master of the Renaissance Arts.
Hey!
Joining us as well this evening, this lovely evening in Montreal, Quebec, on bardbrawl.com's Bard Brawl, production of Richard II, King of England, is Mr. from Prince Edward Island, home of the...
Potatoes.
And clams.
Anne of Green Gables.
And Anne of Green Gables. Yeah, Mr. Troy Clements.
Thank you for having me.
How was your injury from your bicycle accident?
I'm recovering quicker than I thought.
Recovering like a warrior. Like the exiled Lord Bolingbroke is recovering. Well, actually he's not. He's kind of stewing. Mm-hmm. Also, from the isle next to Crete, which is called Greece...
Manhattan Island, in fact.
Manhattan, also next to Crete, if I understand it correctly. Miss Nikki Lambros. Ready to dive into John of Gaunt at Ely House, if I'm not mistaken.
Ely House.
Ely. In my accent, we pronounce it Ely. Where our people come from, we pronounce it Ely. Mm. Anyway. And Stephanie E.M. Coleman also joining us. Little sick. Plugging through like a trooper. Eric John! We have taken Act 1 of Sir Richard, King Richard II, the play nobody wants to join us for.
Don't remove my title, Daniel.
Why not? Why? What happened in the first act of Richard II, King of England?
Two lords, Lord Mowbray, Lord Bolingbroke, basically accused one another of treason. And they were about to have a duel to fix the problem, figure it out. And the king said, you know what? I don't want to play favorites here, but I'm going to banish Bolingbroke for 6 years and Mowbray forever. And that's pretty much it, actually. That's where we left off.
I'm going to go through a little bit of the family tree that I was writing down last time. King Richard is the son of Edward.
Yes.
Edward's brother is Gaunt.
Yes.
His other brother is Gloucester, murdered.
Yes. Killed.
Maybe by Mowbray.
Sort of. Yeah.
His other brother is Edmund.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Gaunt's son is Bolingbroke.
Yes.
Making Richard and Bolingbroke cousins. This is the beginning of the War of the Roses, House of Lancaster, House of York. And so that is the family of...
Yeah, it's sort of the royal family. And Mowbray is a cousin, but he had previously been designated by Richard II as being the heir to his throne. But
he told them, Edward told them, now don't you guys fight.
Don't fight. Don't team up against me. That's what he said. You're banished now, but don't meet in secret and threaten to overthrow me.
But before Edward died, the previous king... He named Richard the heir.
Yes.
And he told Bolingbroke and Richard not to fight.
That's right, don't fight.
Don't fight. They may start fighting.
It could happen.
So, we have John of Gaunt's play, which will be read by Nikki Lambros. We have York, Duke of York. He's new. I'll read Duke of York for now, unless he conflicts with my other characters. King Richard is Eric. We have the Queen, which, Troy, you will be reading the Queen.
Sure. Sounds good.
Regally. Northumberland. Stephanie, if you want to grab Northumberland. We have a couple of minor guys. Ross. Eric, you want to take Ross?
Sure.
Nikki, you want to take Willow?
Sure.
Not to be confused with Willow from the movie Willow.
That's right.
Played by Warwick Davis.
Who?
Great movie.
Not the short guy.
Warwick Davis, whatever no, you Willow, say.
The movie Willow.
Willow. Willow Mardigan.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it has Tom Cruise.
Like Tom no, Cruise? It has...
No, oh, no, that's
not,
Legend.
Not Tom Cruise.
That's Legend.
It's,
yeah, that's right. That's
it's Legend. Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer. Kilmer, holy.
All right. Enter John of Gaunt, sick with the Duke of York, etc.
Will the king come that I may breathe my last and wholesome counsel to his unstayed youth?
Vex not yourself, nor strive not with your breath, for all in vain comes counsel to his ear.
Oh, but they say the tongues of dying men enforce attention like deep harmony, where words are scarce. They are seldom spent in vain, for they breathe truth that breathe their words in pain. He that no more must say is listened more. They that whom youth and ease have taught to gloss more are men's ends marked than their lives before. The setting sun and music at the close, as the last taste of sweets is sweetest last, writ in remembrance more than things long past. Though Richard my life's counsel would not hear, my death's sad tale may yet undeaf his ear.
No, it is stopped with other flattering sounds, as praises of whose taste the wise are fond, lascivious meters, to whom whose venom sound and open ear of youth doth always listen, report of fashions in proud Italy, whose manner still our tardy apish nation limps after its base imitation. Where doth the world thrust forth a vanity, so it be new, there's no respect how vile, that is not quickly buzzed into his ears. Then, all too late, comes counsel to be heard, where will doth mutiny with wit's regard, direct not him whose way himself will choose. 'Tis breath thou lackest, and that breath wilt thou lose.
Methinks I'm a prophet new inspired, and thus expiring to foretell of him his rash, fierce blaze of riot can at last, for violent fires soon burn out themselves. Small showers last long, but sudden storms are short. He tires betimes that spurs too fast betimes. With eager feeding food doth choke the feeder. Light vanity, insatiate cormorant, consuming means soon preys upon itself, this royal throne of kings, this sceptered isle, this earth of majesty, this seat of Mars, this other Eden, demi-paradise, this fortress built of nature for herself, against infection and the hand of war, this happy breed of men, this little world, this precious stone set in the silver sea, which serves it in the office of a wall, or as a moat defensive to a house against the enemy of less happier lands, this blessed plot, this earth, this realm, this England, this nurse, this teeming womb of royal kings, feared by their breed and famous by their birth, renowned for their deeds as far as from home, for Christian service and true chivalry, as a sepulchre in stubborn Jewry. Of the world's ransom, blessed Mary's son, this land of such dear souls, this dear, dear land, dear for her reputation through the world, is now leased out. I die pronouncing it, like to a tenement, or a pelting farm, England, bound in with the triumphant sea, whose rocky shore beats back the envious siege of watery Neptune, is now bound in with shame, with inky blots and rotten parchment bonds, that England, that was wont to conquer others, hath made a shameful conquest of itself. Ah, oh, would the scandal vanish with the life? How happy then were my ensuing death?
Enter King and Queen, etc. All Merle, Bushy, Green, Baggett, Ross, and Willoughby.
Did he even say anything? Anyway.
The king has come. Deal mildly with his youth, for young hot colts being raged do rage the more.
How fair, our noble Uncle Lancaster.
What comfort, man. How is it with aged Gaunt?
Oh, how that name befits my composition. Old, gaunt indeed, and gaunt in being old, within me grief hath kept a tedious fast, and who abstains from meat that is not gaunt? For sleeping England long time I've watched, watching breeds leanness. Leanness is all gaunt. The pleasure that some fathers feed upon in, is my strict fast, I mean my children's looks. And therein fasting hast thou made me gaunt. Gaunt am I for the grave. Gaunt is a grave whose hollow womb inherits naught but bones.
Can sick men play so nicely with their names?
No misery makes sport to mock itself. Since dost thou seek to kill my name in me, I mock my name, great king, to flatter thee.
Should dying men flatter with those that live?
No. No. Men living flatter those that die.
Thou, now a dying, sayest thou flatter me.
Oh, no, thou diest, though I the sicker be.
I am in health, I breathe, and I see thee ill.
Now he that made me knows I see thee ill. Ill in myself to see, and in thy seeing ill, thy deathbed is no lesser than thy land when thou liest in reputation sick. And thou, too careless, patient as thou art, commits thy anointed body to the cure of those physicians that first wounded thee. A thousand flatterers sit within thy crown, whose compass is no bigger than thy head. And yet, encaged in so small a verge, the waste is no whit lesser than thy land. Had thy grandsire with a prophet's eye seeing how his son's son should destroy his sons. From forth thy reach he would have lain thy shame, deposing thee before thou wert possessed, which art possessed now to depose thyself. Why, cousin, wert thou regent of the world, it were a shame to let this land by lease. But for thy world enjoining but this land, is it not more than shame to shame it so? Landlord of England art thou now, not king, and state of law is bondslave to the law, and thou!
A lunatic, lean-witted fool, presuming on an ague's privilege, darest with thy frozen admonition make pale our cheek, chasing the royal blood with fury from his native residence. Now, by what seat's right, royal majesty, wert thou not brother to great Edward's son, this tongue that runs so roundly in thy head should run thy head from thy unreverent shoulder.
Whoa! Spare me not, my brother Edward's son, for that I were his father Edward's son. That blood already like the pelicaness thou tapped out and drunkenly caroused. My brother Gloucester, plain well-meaning soul, whom fair befall in heavens amongst happy souls, happy souls. May he be a precedent and witness good that thou respects not spilling Edward's blood. Join with the present sickness that I have, and thy unkindness be like crooked age to crop at once a too long withered flower. Live in thy shame, but die not shame with thee. These words hereafter let thy tormentors be. Convey me to my bed, then to my grave. Love they to live that love and honor have.
Exit borne off by his attendants.
And let them die that age and sullens have, for both hast thou and both become the grave.
I do beseech your majesty, impute his words to wayward sickliness and age in him. He loves you on my life and holds you dear as Harry Duke of Hereford were he here.
Right, you say true, as Hereford's love, so his, as theirs, so mine, and all be as it is.
Enter Northumberland.
My liege, old Gaunt commends him to your majesty.
What says he?
Nay, nothing, all is said. His tongue is now a stringless instrument. His words, life and all, old Lancaster hath spent.
Bjork, the next that must be bankrupt so. Though death be poor, it ends in mortal woe.
The ripest fruit falls first falls, and so doth he. His time is spent, our pilgrimage must be. So much for that. Now, for our Irish wars, we must supplant those rough, rug-headed kerns, which live like venom where no venom else, but only they have privilege to live. And from these great affairs do ask some charge. Towards our assistance do we seize to us the plate, coin, revenues, and movables whereof our own Uncle Gaunt did stand possessed. Yoink!
How long shall I be patient? Oh, how long shall tender duty make me suffer wrong? Not Gloucester's death, nor Hereford's banishment, nor not Gaunt's rebukes, nor England's private wrongs, nor the prevention of poor Bolingbroke about his marriage, nor my own disgrace have ever made me sour my patient cheek, or bend one wrinkle on my sovereign's face. I am the last of noble Edward's sons, of whom thy father, Prince of Wales, was first. In war was never lion rage more fierce, in peace was never gentle lamb more mild than was that young and princely gentleman. His face thou hast, for even so looked he accomplished with the number of thy hours. But when he frowned, it was against the French, and not against his friends. His noble hand did win what he did spend, and spent not that which his triumphant father's hand had won. His hands were guilty of no kindred blood, but bloody with the enemies of his kin. Oh, Richard, York is too far gone with grief, or else he never would compare between.
Why, uncle, what's the matter?
Oh, my liege, pardon me if you please. If not I, please not to be pardoned, am content withal. Seek you to seize and gripe into your hands the royalties and rights of banished Hereford? Is not Gaunt dead, and not Hereford live? Was not Gaunt just, and is not Harry true? Did not the one deserve to have an heir? Is not his heir a well-deserving son? Take Hereford's rights away, and take from time his charters and his customary rights. Let not tomorrow then ensue today. Be not thyself, for how art thou a king, but by fair sequence and succession? Now, afore God, God forbid I say true, if you can do wrongfully seize Hereford's rights, call in the letters patents that he hath by his attorneys general to sue his livery and deny his offer to homage. You pluck 1,000 dangers on your head, you lose 1,000 well-disposed hearts, and prick my tender patience to those thoughts which honor and allegiance cannot think.
The beginning of the end, Richard takes all of what should now be Bolingbroke's lands and possessions. But yeah, so this is the main beef.
Yeah,
it's what my reason Bolingbroke will come back. Think what you will, we seize into our hands his plate, his goods, his money, and his land.
I'll not be by the while, my liege, farewell. What will ensue hereof, there's none can tell, but by bad courses may be understood that their events can never fall out good.
Exit. Go, Bushy, to the Earl of Wiltshire Strait. Bid him repair to us to Ely House. To see his business. Tomorrow next we will for Ireland, and 'tis time, I trow. And we create, in absence of ourselves, our Uncle York, Lord Governor of England, for he is just and always loved us well. Come on, our Queen, tomorrow we must part. Be merry, for our time of stay is short.
Flourish. Exit King and Queen with others, Manette, Northumberland, and Willoughby and Ross.
Well, lords, the Duke of Lancaster is dead.
Ross is Eric. Willoughby is, Troy, do you want to be Willoughby?
Sure.
Okay.
And living queen.
He should be fine. York. Who's York?
I'm York.
You're York. Yeah. Of course, you're York.
I was just reading him.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, oh no, sorry. Northumberland, you just read. Never mind. And living too, for now, his son is Duke.
Barely in title, not in revenues.
Richly in both, if justice had her right.
My heart is great, but it must break with silence, ere it be disturbed with a liberal tongue.
Nay, speak thy mind, and let him ne'er speak more that speaks thy words again to do thee harm.
Tends that thou wouldest speak to the Duke of Hereford. If it be so, out with it boldly, man. Quick as mine ear to hear of good towards him.
No good at all that I can do for him, unless you call it good to pity him, bereft and gelded of his patrimony.
Now, afore God, 'tis shame such wrongs are borne in him, a royal prince, and many more of noble blood in this declining land. The king is not himself, but basely led by flatterers, and what they will inform merely in hate against any of us all, that will the king severely prosecute against us, our lives, our children, and our heirs.
The commons hath he pilled with grievous taxes, and quite lost their hearts. The nobles had he fined with ancient quarrels, and quite lost their hearts.
And daily new exactions are devised, as blanks, benevolence, and what not. But what a god's name doth become of this?
Wars hath not wasted it, for ward he hath not, but basely yielded upon compromise that which his noble ancestors achieved with blows. More hath he spent in peace than they in wars.
The Earl of Wiltshire hath the realm in farm.
The king's grown bankrupt like a broken man.
Reproach and dissolution hangeth over him.
He hath not money for these Irish wars, his burdensome taxations notwithstanding, but by the robbing of the banished duke.
His noble kinsman, most degenerate king. The lords, we hear this fearful tempest sing, yet seek no shelter to avoid the storm. We see the wind sit sore upon our sails, and yet we strike not, but securely perish.
We see the very rack that we must suffer, and unavoided is the danger now, for suffering so the causes of our rack.
Not so, even through the hollow eyes of death I spy life peering, but I dare not say how near the tidings of our comfort is.
Nay, let us share thy thoughts as thou dost ours.
Be confident to speak, Northumberland. We three are but thyself, and speaking so thy words are but as thoughts, therefore be bold.
Then thus, I have from Le Port Blanc, a bay in Britain, received intelligence that Harry, Duke of Hereford, Reynold, Lord Cobham, Thomas, son and heir to the Earl of Arundel, that late broke from the Duke of Exeter, his brother, Archbishop, late of Canterbury, Sir Thomas Erpingham, Sir John Ramsden, Sir John Norbury, Sir Robert Waterton, and Francis Coynt, all these, well furnished by the Duke of Britain, with 8 tall ships, 3,000 men of war, are making hither with all due expedience, and shortly mean to touch our northern shore. Perhaps they had ere this, but that they stay the first departing of the king for Ireland. If then we shall shake off our slavish yoke, imp out our drooping country's broken wing, redeem from broken pawn the blemished crown, wipe off the dust that hides our scepter's guilt, and make high majesty look like itself. Away with me in post to Ravensburg. But if you faint, as fearing to do so, stay and be secret, and myself will go.
To horse, urge doubts to them that fear.
Hold out my horse, and I will first be there.
Exhumed. Classic king mistake. Surround yourself with yes men. Alienate nobles and the commons.
And steal money from...
And steal.
And steal. Nobles yeah. don't tend to like it when you take everything they own. It's not a popular move.
For no good reason other than to go fight Irish. Well, that's a pretty good reason.
It seems fighting Irish. Very British reason.
Now we are in Windsor Castle. We have the Queen, who Troy read. Bushy, who was Stephanie last time. Mm-hmm. Bushy. He's back.
Bushy.
Green, who... I think Troy also read
yeah,
Green.
It might not be a bad idea to have someone else read
okay,
Green.
Okay, well, Nikki, if you want to grab Green.
Gaunt is
out.
He's dead.
Yeah,
so
you're
actually,
Green now for this act.
You're green.
Green.
York is me and Bagot, Eric.
Oh, no. Gaunt, no, he's dead.
Yeah. Gaunt's dead.
I shall be Bagot.
Bagot.
Gotcha.
Bilbo Bagot. Enter that Queen Bushy Bagot.
All right, Bushy.
This is scene 2. Your Majesty is too much sad. You promised, when you parted with the king, to lay aside life-harming heaviness and entertain a cheerful disposition.
Be happy.
To please the king I did. To please myself, I cannot do it. Let I know no cause why I should welcome such a guest as grief. Save bidding farewell to so sweet a guest as my sweet Richard. Yet again, methinks, some unborn sorrow ripe in fortune's womb is coming towards me and inward my soul. With nothing trembles, at something it grieves more than with parting from my lord the king.
Oh, that's nice.
It's sad.
Each substance of a grief hath 20 shadows, which shows like grief itself, but is not so. For sorrow's eyes, glazed with blinding tears, divides one thing entire to many objects, like perspectives, which rightly gazed upon show nothing but confusion. Eye to wry, distinguish form, so your sweet majesty, looking awry upon your lord's departure, finds shapes of grief, more than himself to wail, which, looked on as it is not but shadows of what it is not. Then, thrice gracious queen, more than your lord's departure weep not, more is not seen, or if it be, 'tis with the false sorrow's eye, for which things true weeps things imaginary.
It may be so, but yet my inward soul persuades me it is otherwise. However it be, I cannot but be sad, so heavy sad, as, though on thinking, on no thought I think, makes me with heavy nothing faint and shrink.
'Tis nothing but conceit, my gracious lady.
'Tis nothing less. Conceit is still derived from some forefather grief. Mine is not so, for nothing hath begot my something grief. For something hath the nothing that I grieve. 'Tis is reversion. 'Tis in reversion that I do possess. But what it is, this is not yet known. What, I cannot name. 'Tis nameless woe I wot.
Enter Green.
God save your majesty, and well met, gentlemen. Hope the king is not yet shipped for Ireland.
Why hopest thou so? 'Tis better hope he is, for his designs crave haste, his haste good hope. Then wherefore dost thou hope he is not shipped?
That he, our hope, might have retired his power and driven into despair an enemy's hope, who strongly hath set footing in this land, that the banished Bolingbroke repeals himself, and with uplifted arms is safe arrived in Ravensbar.
Now, God in heavens forbid.
Ah, madam, it is too true, and that is worse. The Lord Northumberland, his son, young Henry Percy, the Lord of Ross, Beaumont, and Willoughby, with all their powerful friends, are fled to him.
Why have you not proclaimed Northumberland and all the rest revolted faction traitors?
We have! Whereupon the Earl of Worcester hath broke his staff, resigned his stewardship, and all the household servants fled with him to Bolingbroke.
So, Green, thou art the midwife to my woe, and blowing broke my sorrow's dismal air.
Thanks for dismal. Stopping by.
I love you too.
Now hath my soul brought forth her prodigy, and I, a gasping new delivered mother, have woe to woe, sorrow to sorrow joined.
Despair not, madam.
Who shall hinder me? I will despair, and be at enmity with cozening hope. He is a flatterer, a parasite, a keeper back of death,
who gently would dissolve
the bands of life, which false hope lingers in extremity.
Enter York! Oh,
thank you.
Here comes the Duke of York!
With signs of war about his aged neck. Oh, full of careful business are his looks. Uncle, for God's sake, speak comfortable words.
Should I do so?
You're in.
I should belie my thoughts. Comfort's in heaven, and we are on earth, where hell is. Oh, sorry. Where nothing but lives, but crosses, cares, and grief. Oh, pretty much the same thing. Your husband, he is gone to save far off, whilst others come to make him lose at home. Here am I left to underprop his land, who, weak with age, cannot support myself. Now comes the sick hour that his surfeit made. Now shall he try his friends that flattered him.
Enter a serving man. My lord, your son was gone before I came.
He was. Why, so go all which way it will. The nobles, they are fed, the commons, they are cold, and will, I fear, revolt on Hereford's side. Sirrah, go thee to Plashy, to my sister Gloucester. Bid her send me presently 1,000 pounds. Hold, take my ring.
My lord, I had forgot to tell your lordship. Today, as I come by, I called there, but I shall grieve you to report the rest.
What is it, knave?
An hour before I came, the Duchess died.
God for his mercy, what a tide of woes comes rushing on this woeful land at once. I know not what to do. I would to God so my untruth had not provoked him to it. The king had cut off my head with my brothers. What, are there no posts dispatched for Ireland? How shall we do for money for these wars? Come, sister, cousin, what I say, pray pardon me. Go, fellow, get thee home, provide some carts, and bring away the armor that is there.
Exit serving man.
Gentlemen, will you go muster men? If I know how or which way to order these affairs, thus disorderly thrust into my hands, never believe me, both are my kinsmen. To one is my sovereign, both whom both my oath and duty bids defend. To the other, again, is my kinsman, whom the king hath wronged, whom conscience and my kindred bids to right. Well, somewhat we must do. Come, cousin, I'll dispose of you. Gentlemen, go muster up your men, and meet me presently at Berkeley. I should do Plashy too, but time will not permit. All is uneven, and everything is left at 6 and 7.
Jeez, exit the Duke of York.
Sucks.
Queen, manage Bushy, that. Green, and the Silent Baggot.
He's the worst. Northumberland's in between everybody. It's the worst.
Okay.
The wind sits fair for news to go for Ireland, but none returns. For us to levy power proportionable to the enemy is all impossible.
Besides, our nearness to the king in love is near the hate of those who love not the king.
That is the Wavering Commons, for their love lies in their purses, and whoso empties them by so much fills their heart with deadly hate.
Wherein the king stands generally condemned.
If judgment lie in them, then so do we, because we ever have been near the king.
Well, I will for refuge straight to Bristol Castle. The Earl of Wiltshire is already there.
Thither will I with you, for little office with the will the hateful commons perform for us, except like curs to tear us all to pieces. Will you go along with us?
No, I will to Ireland, to his majesty. Farewell, if heart's presage be not vain, we three here part that ne'er shall meet again.
That's as York thrives to beat back Bolingbroke.
Alas, poor Duke! The task is he undertakes is numbering sands and drinking oceans dry. Where one on his side fights, thousands will fly. Farewell at once, for all, and ever.
Well, we may meet again.
I fear me, never.
Exeunt. See, the good thing about histories is, though there's lots of characters at the beginning, they start dying fast. Two down already. So now we have Bolingbroke, which is me, Northumberland, which is Stephanie, Percy, Eric? Do you want to be Percy?
Sure, if you want.
Why not? Willibur is Troy, and that leaves Berkeley for Nikki.
I guess you can take Ross, too, if he says anything.
I think Ross says anything, but if he does,
does says one or two lines.
Okay,
no, Ross, wait, who is all again? Yours. Ross and who
Berkeley.
Else? Berkeley.
Is she Willoughby, too?
University of... No, I'm Troy is Willoughby. Berkeley. Wilds in Gloucester. Oh, we're in the wilds.
Go, Habs, go! Oh, wait,
enter where did that come from? Duke of Hereford, Northumberland, and forces. How far is it, my lord, to Berkeley now?
Believe me, noble lord, I am a stranger here in Gloucestershire. These high, wild hills and rough, uneven ways draws out our miles and makes them wearisome. And yet your fair discourse hath been as sugar, making the hard way sweet and delectable. But I bethink me what a weary way from Ravensburg to Cotswold will be found in Ross and Willoughby, wanting your company, which, I protest, hath very much beguiled the tediousness and process of my travel. But theirs is sweetened with the hope to have the present benefit which I possess, and hope to joy is little less in joy than hope enjoyed. But this the weary lords shall make their way seem short, as mine hath done by sight of what I have, your noble company.
Of much less value is my company than your good words. But who comes here?
Enter Harry Percy. Ooh,
bromance.
Yeah.
It is my son, young Harry Percy, sent from my brother Worcester, whencesoever.
Sure. Worcester. Harry.
How fares your uncle?
Is Harry Percy Hotspur's dad?
Yes.
Okay.
I had thought, my lord, to have learned his health of you.
Why, is he not with the queen?
No, my good lord, he hath forsook the court, broken his staff of office, and dispersed the household of the king.
What was his reason? He was not so resolved when last we spake together.
Because your lordship was proclaimed traitor, but he, my lord, has gone to Ravenspur to offer service to the Duke of Hereford, and send me over to Berkeley to discover what power the Duke of York had levied there, then with direction to repair to Ravenspur.
Have you forgot the Duke of Hereford, boy?
No, my good lord, for that is not forgot, which ne'er did I remember. To my knowledge, I never in my life did look on him.
And learn to know him now. This is the Duke.
My gracious lord, I tender you my service, such as it is, being tender, raw, and young, which elder days shall ripen and confirm to more approved service and desert.
I thank thee, gentle Percy, and be sure I count myself in nothing else so happy as in a soul remembering my good friends until the next play when you become my enemy and your son tries to kill me. And as my fortune ripens with thy love, it shall be still thy true love's recompense. My heart, this covenant makes, my hand thus seals it. Shake, shake, shake.
How far is it to Berkeley? And what stir keeps good old York there with his men of war?
There stands the castle by yon tuft of trees, manned with 300 men, as I have heard. And in it are the lords of York, Berkeley,
good,
and Seymour. None good else of name and noble estimate.
Enter Ross and Willoughby.
Perfect. Here come the lords of Ross and Willoughby, bloody with spurring, fiery red with haste.
Losers.
Welcome, my lords. I watch your love pursues a banished traitor. All my treasury is yet but unfelt thanks.
Yet
more enriched shall be your love and labor's recompense.
Your presence makes us rich, most noble lord.
And far surmounts our labor to attain it.
Evermore thanks the exchequer of the poor, which till my infant fortune comes to years, stands for my bounty. But who comes here?
It is my lord of Berkeley, as I guess.
Enter Berkeley.
Okay, here we go.
Who's Berkeley?
Nikki is Berkeley.
My lord of Hereford. No, I have to be a Scottish.
That's okay.
Scotsman.
Is it Scottish? My lord of Hereford, my message is to you.
I don't know.
You get to decide.
My lord, my answer is to Lancaster, and I am come to seek that name in England, and I must find that title in your tongue before I make reply to aught you say.
Mistake me not, my lord, 'tis not my meaning to raise one title of your honour out. To you, my lord, I come, what lords you will, from the most gracious regent of this land, the Duke of York, to know what pricks you on to take advantage of the absent time and fright our native peace with self-bearing arms.
Ruh-roh, enter York attended. Eric, can you pinch hit Bolingbroke or York? Which one?
York, I guess. You should say Bolingbroke.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate
it. Well, it's
that.
Less confusing. Though.
I shall not need transport my words by you. Here comes his grace in person, my noble uncle, kneels.
Show me thy humble heart, and not thy knee, whose duty is deceivable and false.
My gracious uncle.
Tut, tut, grace me no grace, nor uncle me no uncle. I am no traitor's uncle, and that world, grace, is an ungracious mouth, is but profane. Why have those banished and forbidden legs dared once to touch on dust of England's ground? But then...
Uncle me no uncle.
Sorry. Uncle me no uncle.
Uncle me no uncle.
I'm going to use that sometimes.
Don't uncle me. Fucking uncle.
Don't you uncle me.
But then, more why have they dared to march so many miles upon her peaceful bosom, frightened her pale-faced villages with war and ostentation of despised arms? Com'st thou because the anointed king is hence? Why, foolish boy, the king is left behind, and in my royal, loyal bosom lies his power. Were I but now lord of such youth as when brave Gaunt thy father and myself rescued the Black Prince, that young men of Mars from forth the rank of many thousand French, oh then how quickly should this arm of mine, now prisoner to the palsy, chastise thee, and minister corrections to thy fault.
Gracious uncle, let me know my fault, or what condition stands it, and wherein.
Even in condition of the worst degree, in gross rebellion and detested treason, thou art a banished man, and here art come before the expiration of thy time, in braving arms against thy sovereign.
As I was banished Hereford, but as I come for Lancaster. And noble uncle, I beseech your grace, look on my wrongs with an indifferent eye. You are my father, for methinks in you I see old Gaunt alive. Oh, then, my father, will you permit that I shall stand condemned, a wandering vagabond, my rights and royalties plucked from my arms perforce and given away to upstart unthrifts? Wherefore was I born, if that my cousin, King of England, king in England, if it must be granted I am Duke of Lancaster? For you have a son, Omer, my noble cousin. Why'd you name him that? Had you first died, and he been thus trod down, he should have found his uncle Gaunt a father to rouse his wrongs and chase them to the bay. I'm denied to sue my livery here, and yet my letters, patents, give me leave. My father's goods are all distrained and sold, and these and all are all amiss employed. What would you have me do? I am a subject, and I challenge law. Attorneys are denied me, and therefore, personally, I lay my claim to my inheritance of free descent.
The noble duke hath been too much abused.
It stands your grace upon him to do right.
Base men by his endowments are made great.
My lords of England, let me tell you this. I have had feeling of my cousin's wrongs, and labored all I could to do him right. But in this kind to come, in braving arms, be his own carver and cut out his way. To find out right with wrong, it may not be. And you that do abet him in this kind, cherish rebellion and are rebels all.
Ooh. Oh, the noble duke hath sworn his coming is not, but not for his own. And for the right of that, we all have strongly sworn to give him aid. And let him never see joy that breaks in that oath.
Well, well, I see the issue of these arms. I cannot mend it, I must needs confess, because my power is weak and all ill left. But if I could, by him that gave me life, I would attach you all, and make you stoop unto the sovereign mercy of the king. But since I cannot, be it known unto you that I do remain as neutral. So fare you well, unless you please to enter in the castle and there repose you for this night.
An offer, uncle, that we will accept, but we must win your grace to go with us to Bristol Castle, which they say is held by Bushy Bagot and their accomplices, the caterpillars of the Commonwealth, which I have sworn to weed and pluck away.
It may be I will go with you, but yet I'll pause, for I am loath to break our country's laws. Nor friends, nor foes, to me welcome you are. Things past redress are now with me past cure.
Exude! So they want to get... Once York is on camp, they win.
Well, yeah, because he's the regent. So I guess if he can get him to agree that they're, you know, in the right.
Act 2, scene 4, last one. A camp in Wales. I got a short one. Who's feeling Welsh? Captain S?
I like to be a Welsh.
Okay, be a Welsh captain then. And then Earl of Salisbury... We haven't seen him yet. Who is Earl of Salisbury? Troy, do you want to take on Earl of Salisbury? Yeah. Salisbury is an English earl loyal to Richard.
There you go.
An earl.
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 My lord of
Salisbury. Wait, I gotta enter. Wait, where are they? All right, well, she's excited. It's okay. Oh,
no, it's fine.
Enter Earl of Salisbury and a Welsh captain.
I can't do
that. There you go.
Okay, now...
And go.
Now?
Yep.
Now.
You sure?
Yeah. Whenever you feel like it.
My lord of Salisbury, we have stayed 10 days and hardly kept our countrymen together. And yet we hear things, no tidings from the king. Therefore we will disperse ourselves. Farewell.
Stay yet another day, thou trusty Welshman. The king repossessed. All his confidence in thee.
'Tis thought the king is dead. We will not stay. The bay trees in our country are all withered, and meteors fright the fixed stars of heaven. The pale-faced moon looks bloody on the earth, and lean-lipped prophets whisper fearful change. Rich men look sad, and ruffians dance and leap. The one in fear to lose what they enjoy, the other to enjoy what race and war. By race and war decides. For on the death or fall of kings, farewell. Our countrymen are gone and fled. And well assured, Richard, their king, is dead.
Richard, with the eyes of heavy mind, I see thy glory like a shooting star fall to the base earth from the firmament. Thy sun sets weeping in the lowly west, witnessing storms to come, woe and unrest. Thy friends are fled to wait upon thy foes, and crossly to thy gods all fortunate goes.
Excellent.
Wop, wop, wow.
And that is Act Two.
That's Act Two.
It's pretty simple. This play would be really fun to do because there's all every character is from a different part of the isle.
That's true.
So you could have these great costumes like Welsh and the North and the, all the other areas and all the different accents. And you could really make it interesting. There's not as many court people as it would seem. So no. We just went pound for pound with Shakespeare, like a leopard and a lion. Listen to Act One and you'll know
you'll
what
understand
that means.
What we mean. Yeah.
Correct. We shall be back with you shortly. We've kept Eric far too long, and I believe the game may have already started.
No, it starts at 8 tonight.
8 tonight. Oh,
plenty
yes,
of time.
Time.
As in 13 minutes, but plenty
of time.
We will
be back shortly. Just a reminder for all of you to check out Zunes, the aforementioned journal, which is available on barball.com. Follow the link. You can order it there or buy it at Argo Books, Paragraph Books.
Hey, people
should
submit. They should
submit
stuff they want to put in.
If you want to, send us an email if you are a creative writer. A poet, an artist, a painter, a photographer, whatever, send us an email, barbell@gmail.com, and let us know your thoughts, and we will see about putting it in the journal.
Theme is T.
The theme is the letter T. Future themes to come. So, with that, I bid you a good night, brawlers.
And you, farewell. Auf Wiedersehen.
Adieu. Adieu.
Sonnet 32. If thou survive my well-contented day, when that churl death my bones with dust shall cover, and shalt by fortune once more resurvey these poor rude lines of thy deceased lover, compare them with the bettering of the time, and though they may be outstripped by every pen, reserve them for my love, not for their rhyme, exceeded by the height of happier men. Oh, then vouchsafe me from this loving thought, had my friend's muse grown with his growing age, a dearer birth than this his love had brought, to march in ranks of better equipage. But since he died, and poets better prove, theirs for their style I'll read, his for his love.